Welcome to the Be Loud About What Matters podcast. I'm Olivia, your host. On this podcast, I will be bringing light to topics that are important but not discussed enough within our society. Episodes will include a range of topics, starting with the journey to conceive, pregnancy, birth, postpartum and motherhood, holistic healing and nutrition, and the importance of true informed consent and medical freedom. The goal of this podcast is to create connections, share stories, information, and resources to educate and empower people in their own personal journey. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to this week's episode of the Be Loud About What Matters podcast. I am so excited for this guest to be on with me today. We have been trying to make this happen, and we've worked our schedules out a little bit, and now we're finally here. So I have Chris Linscomb on the podcast. So welcome, Chris. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm so grateful to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So we connected on Instagram, I don't even know, a while ago now, and I think you had been sharing some stuff about doing homeschooling and just shifting a lot of the things that you were doing in your own life. And I was also in that stage too, within these last few years of just everything changing and like my views changing and my thoughts changing. So I was really enjoying what you were sharing. And then from there, we kind of just kept talking back and forth about stuff. And these things are the things that really matter to us in terms of like our health and our healing and what's going on in the world and the example we want to set for our children and the people we know and the people we're around. So yeah, if you could just share a bit about you and what you do and what sets your soul on fire, that would be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm a lot of things. I'm a soldier. I'm a naturopathic medical student dropout. I am a writer. I'm a husband and father. And I'm currently a truck driver.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I left medical school in 2021, and it was a huge step of faith. It was like, all right, we're going to step out of the boat and walk on water here, because I feel like everything within me, I felt like God was saying, like, you got to go. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, but I don't know what's next.
Right.
Like, I had no idea. So I just stepped out on the water and I said, all right, let's do this. And I found truck driving a few months later.
Yeah.
I've been doing that for about the last year.
Yeah. And I feel like when you just have that feeling that God's just telling you, no, it's time for you to move, it's time for you to do this or whatever it is, you just have to listen to it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the way that God speaks to me in those moments is through deep intuition and, you know, wanting to remain in integrity and in alignment with what's true and what's right and what's good. And I've talked about this elsewhere with people. I think, you know, we're often confronted with the decision to make the hard right or the easy wrong. Mm-hmm. And for me, leaving medical school was the hard right. It was 10 years of my life of time invested, energy invested, money invested, so many sacrifices, like putting so much of my life on hold to pursue this dream of becoming a doctor.
Right.
And, you know, I had all my eggs in that basket. And so there wasn't a plan B. Yeah, all of them. So, yeah. So it came down to, all right, my integrity is more important than this career. And I have to listen to that and, you know, trust that that's God's voice leading me. And it was absolutely 100%. Looking back, I've zero doubt that I made the right decision.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the time, what we don't realize is that like that deep intuition is really God being like, hey, we should listen to this. We should do this. And I think it really depends on where you are in terms of your healing journey and your faith and everything and how connected you are or disconnected you are. And so I love that you did that. Even though it probably felt scary and terrifying and you were like, I don't know if this is the right thing, but I think it's the right thing. And putting so much time and energy into schooling is it's a big deal. And money too. Yeah. Like schooling is not cheap. So do you want to share a bit about what that was like for you? Like why you made that decision or what was telling you to really just like make sure that you are being, what's the word I'm looking for? Like you're sticking with your integrity.
Mm-hmm. So, 2020 hit, you know, and it kind of took everyone by surprise. I think most people. I think there were probably like a smattering of like people of like, oh, we've seen this playbook before. We're not buying it. Well, I wasn't one of those people at first. I was like, oh my gosh, there's you know, everyone's getting sick. There's this pandemic. This is really serious, and everything shut down. And we stayed in, and we weren't bought into the fear so much. You know, we were taking care of our health and trying to bolster our immune systems. This was the conversations we were having back then. But as things progressed and it became, it got drawn out, and it became really, really apparent to me and to a lot of other people that there's something a little bit more insidious going on here. This doesn't make a whole lot of sense. This is not about health. This isn't about protecting anyone. And so, you know, a number of us like just really started taking deep dives into, okay, look, there's all this talk about the science, right? So let's actually read the science. Let's talk about, like, let's have discussions. Let's have dialogue about masks. Let's have dialogue about contagious disease. Let's have dialogue about all of these, you know, hand washing and over sanitizing everything, and like walking one ways down aisles and plexiglass separators. Let's think logically and common sense about all this stuff. And so I'm in a naturopathic medical school in Portland, Oregon, and the milieu of Portland and the milieu of higher education is very, very progressive. And one of the things that comes along with that is deep trust within institutions. So the mainstream narrative prevailed, and there was such a fear response in the school that all dialogue and all discussion about any of these things from any kind of objective standpoint was shut down entirely.
Like they just
And
wouldn't even let
so
you talk about it, or if it was basically like this is what it is.
this is what it is, and you will go along with it. And there was, for any, th there was a small number of students that raised some concern, you know, and wanted to have discussions with admin and the clinical staff. And you know, the students who pushed back a little bit and were trying to initiate dialogue were shut down. But they weren't just shut down; they were shamed and they were belittled. And it was framed in such a way of like, how can you be so uncaring? How can you put other people in danger? Like just asking simple questions or bringing like, here's a peer-reviewed published science article about what you're talking about that conflicts with what you're telling us to do. There's an issue there. And as a, you know, an institution, we're working on our doctorate, right? So we should be able to have dialogue, intelligent dialogue about this. Using science, like you're teaching us to use science, use the research. So let's do that. And we were shamed. And I mean, even the president of the school sent out this email, just like, I can't believe you guys. You're so uncaring. You're so unloving. This is not the culture of our school. And we're like, whoa, okay, this is not okay. So that was the environment from 2020 to 2021. And as things progressed, you know, we were forced masked. If we didn't wear a mask at school, we were given disciplinary action. We were threatened with being kicked out. So, you know, that felt kind of odd, but I'm like, all right, well, I'm just gonna suck it up, and I'll spend my time in clinic and spend my time in classes wearing this stupid mask, even though I don't believe in it. Just get through this, it'll go away. And then these injections started rolling out, and across the board, there was, you know, in the medical field, like everyone has to get this, and there's no question. And if you don't, you can't go to school here. You can't practice medicine, or you can't be involved in healthcare whatsoever.
It's
And
just
so that,
no choice. That's just what it
no,
is.
yeah, well, and I mean, you always have a choice, right? But
But they
like,
weren't giving you one, is what I was saying.
yeah. So, 2021. August, September is when the mandates came out for us, and so this was the option that we were given. You will get this shot in order to go to school here, and if you do not, you have to put in for a religious accommodation, you know, or some kind of medical accommodation. But if you get approved for that, you have to get a test once a week, and you have to pay for it, and you have to do it on your own time. And if you don't do it, it's going to be a $500 fine per day for not getting this test. And I'm like, okay, the tests are bunk, the masks are bunk, the injections are bunk, this immoral, unethical coercion to inject our bodies with something that we don't want to inject our bodies with, this is all really, really gross. And everything kind of came to a head. And so I tried to continue initiating conversation with admin. It just was shut down. Unanswered emails, unanswered calls, like, and any answers that we did get were just super spiteful. And so I just decided to wash my hands of the whole thing, and I said, I don't need this career. I'm walking away from it, and I don't know if I'm going to go back or not. And it, you know, in the time since then, I've decided, no, I'm not pursuing my medical career at all. But yeah, that's kind of how things flowed. And it was in the beginning, I think I was really angry. I was really,
Understandably.
yeah, there was a lot of emotions, a lot of disappointment, frustration. I was like carrying it in my body, just this, oh, this tension.
And that's not, and I mean, being in the middle of that and having them basically tell you what you have to do, and if not, then you're out. I mean, and it's going against every single cell in your body and everything that you believe in, is just, I can't imagine what that felt like.
Yeah. And it was a naturopathic medical school. I mean, it is, right? And they're all about natural medicine. And so you would think, in that context, there would be a little bit more open-minded discussion about using natural means to keep your body healthy. And that just wasn't even on the table.
That was actually something that I noticed, and I was actually really surprised by it, like in terms of naturopathic medicine and like other healing modalities that people use, like acupuncture and chiropractic. Like even the people who are acupuncturists and chiropractors, like I know a bunch of them who still went along and just did it because they were like, we don't want to get canceled. And I think it's so unfortunate that so like we you at this point in our society, it's like you can't even have a healthy debate. And where you're supposed to be able to. You're supposed to be able to, these are my thoughts, this is my opinion, this is why. And it's okay if you have different ones, but you can't force the other person to do everything you're doing just because you believe in it.
And I think that that's a societal problem. I think it's a cultural problem, and that we've lost the ability to have meaningful dialogue and disagreement with people who see things differently. But I think that there was an added layer with the fear conditioning that was 24/7, and people were they were acting out of this like lizard brain, like visceral response. It was like talking to a wall with people. Like they couldn't even have any kind of like higher level thinking conversations whatsoever. It was just
No.
this like emotional
Emotional
kind of,
response every time. And I agree with you. I think it was just the, and I mean, it still is going on. It's definitely not as alive and well as it was during those first few years. But the fear mongering is insane. It was insane, and it was everywhere you went. And I remember, like, when you were talking about like masks and all the plexiglass and all the rules with masks, and I was just sitting there thinking to myself how it made no sense. And I'm like, how do people not see this? But I think it again, like, goes back to what I was saying before, just really being in tune with what you believe in and not just going along with what everybody else says you should. It's also like people pleasing stuff too. Like there's so many layers to it.
There's a lot of layers to that. Absolutely. 100%. So that actually like leads me to sort of like the progression of like my own story in the last few years. And what happened after I left medical school is like those very dynamics of people pleasing and outsourcing feeling and thinking and those kinds of things to experts and authorities. Like, I'm beginning to really think about that because a lot of us felt the same way as you do. I was like, how do people not see this? Like, this is crazy. And so as I'm like sorting through those things at the time, like kind of digging underneath the layers, I begin to step back and look at, like, okay, what are the systems that are reinforcing and enabling this kind of behavior? And this sort of blind obedience, this blind deferment to authority. And I think a lot of that starts at home, you know. Most definitely, I think it starts at home and the family dynamics and the way that kids are raised. But hand in hand with that comes the schooling system. And so it really tugged on my heart. It really saddened me to see the ways that the kids were being conditioned in public schools with this stuff. I mean, it was heartbreaking.
It was so heartbreaking, and I know that we're in different states, but in Massachusetts, they were trying to pass a law to mask children 2 years and up, like a legitimate law. So that's where like I connected with a lot of people because I was like, I just, like you were saying, like I couldn't believe it, but I also was like, these are our kids. These are our kids. This is the next generation of kids.
And they were just conditioning them, programming them to just do whatever they're told, despite, you know, what they felt about their own body from such a young age.
Yes,
And,
it's so
it was
harmful.
infuriating, like, right? Because is I so I have two stepdaughters. I have a 14-year-old and a now 20-year-old. So this was a few years ago, talking like 11, 12, and then our oldest was a senior in high school. So, you know, as a father, as a stepfather, like, I am so upset and frustrated with the system. And I'm like, you don't get to tell my girls what to do with their bodies, like, you know, excuse my French, but fuck off, okay? Like, these are not your kids, these are our kids, and they're not your body, okay? So after I left med school in 2021, that fall, I'm like, we're pulling our youngest and we're gonna homeschool her. In this stupid game, we're not filling her head with this garbage. And so I got really involved in the local homeschool community. I think that's maybe when you and I connected, was,
I remember that now that you say it.
And man, there's a lot of really beautiful stuff going on in the homeschool community around the country, but yeah, locally here, it was pretty incredible to see. So I did that for a few months, and I'm like, you know what? Like, let's create opportunities. I'm like, I've never homeschooled kids before. I was homeschooled when I was a little boy for like a few years, like first, second grade. But
Oh, you were.
I
That's cool.
but you know, that was like a long time ago. I had no experience, and I had like no connection to the homeschool community. I was connected to like a local group of people who are sort of involved in local politics and you know, and health freedom folks and that kind of thing. So, really cool community. So I was just like, hey, y'all, like, this is what I'm thinking. Let's create a homeschool co-op. Let's and so my wife and I, we just put it out to the community, and we said in 2 weeks we're gonna meet out in the park. You know, it's like, you know, across the street from where we live, there's this lake and this park and this beautiful open area, and we're just gonna talk about making a homeschool co-op, and we're gonna get parents together. I think 150 or 200 people showed up,
Oh,
total
wow.
strangers. We had no idea. We just put it out on Facebook, you know, and it spread throughout the community. All these people showed up. I had like a little loudspeaker. I'm like, hey, I'm just a concerned dad, y'all. Like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Let's create something for these kids. Let's make it happen. And everyone's like, yeah. I was like, whoa, this is so crazy. So,
Awesome.
for 3, 4 months that fall, we just started things going. And a lot of different like homeschool communities and mom parents, mostly moms, but you know, dads, some dads too, got involved in collaboration. And yeah, so there's a lot of like beautiful things that came from all this frustration with the system and all this garbage that was happening in the schools. But
And I think it's also the other piece that I was thinking about is how liberating it is. 'Cause I know a lot of the time when someone, this not everybody, but when someone in a family who's like the first person who says, I'm gonna homeschool our kids, the first questions are like, well, are you qualified to do that? Always, right? Or can you really do that? Or how can you make that work? And all these things. And it's like, parents, it like what you're talking about, it starts at home. It starts with how you're raised. It starts with the values in your family. And so parents, I don't think that our, I don't think we're supposed to have children and give them to somebody else to parent them and teach them everything. And honestly, too, a lot of the stuff that's being, like you mentioned before, the progressiveness where you are, it's crazy here. And
Massachusetts,
it is so deep within the school system now that it's like I had always wanted to homeschool, but my my decision was fully made within these last few years because our kids aren't supposed like that's not teaching them. That's just you pushing your stuff on them. And so it's so awesome that you did that and you just like brought people together and you were like, I don't know what we're doing, but we're gonna figure it out. And I think that's always how it works, right? Like you might feel afraid or scared to do something new because you've never done it before and you don't know how to do it, but getting out there and doing that and having your kids see that, I think is such a huge lesson. It's so valuable for them to be able to see too. And also showing them that like you don't have to do what everybody else is doing and you can go about and go on your own path. And there will be other people who want to do the same thing.
That's right. I think it just takes one or two people to just say, we're doing something different. And here's the vision. This is where we're going. I don't know how it's gonna work, but I believe it will. And things happen. I think, this is the beauty of a small minority having the courage to stand up and say, no, we're doing something different. And things happen. I mean, you can't discount like the faith of one or two people to make a dramatic difference, and the ripples just spread. And we're not as involved in the homeschool community anymore because I'm working like crazy and Brett's working, and so we just don't have time. That was like kind of my transition season when I was unemployed, but the seeds of what we helped plant with other parents are, they've sprouted, and there's like a whole thriving co-op at a local church
So
for young
awesome.
kids that's it's exploded, and now they have like a whole system and applications and papers and courses and people involved in teaching classes once a week, and it's just really beautiful stuff. And I'm like, Britt and I were looking at each other 2 years ago going, oh, we don't know what we're doing. Let's just do it. I mean, if not us, who, you know?
Well, I commend you guys for doing that. That's really, really awesome.
Thank you. So, how old is yours?
My daughter is 3 and a half.
Three and
So
a half, okay.
she's not even like school age technically, but I don't know. And I also feel like having kids too, within these last few years, I mean, granted, I don't have any older children, I only have her, but I think I had her, and then all of this happened when she was so young. So it really, really, I was already like heart wide open. So it really just like fully opened my mind to everything. And I was just like up late every night doing research and like trying to understand things and trying to really just wrap my head around a lot of things. So, but it's been really cool. I think it's been great to see how many people have moved towards homeschooling because of it and because they saw what was ha what the things that were happening with their kids. Like, I don't even know the exact numbers. I probably should have looked it up before we started recording, but like homeschooling has drastically
It's
increased.
exploded.
It's exploded. And so, and even in Massachusetts, which in some ways was actually surprising to me because of the general society here in Massachusetts, but we have a medical freedom homeschooling group that is specifically for parents in Massachusetts and kids of all ages. And it's so cool to see people from different towns all over figuring out how they can bring their kids and bring them together and make it work. So it's really cool to see.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I think we're going to see more and more of that in the coming years. I think there's so many parents who are awake now and passionate about not only protecting their kids, but creating something more meaningful. And that's one of the gifts. I talk about like the gifts of 2020 and beyond. Because I think I spent a lot of my time being super angry and frustrated. And I'm like, all right, let's tone it down. I've done a lot of work around that,
Same.
And and so now I'm in a completely different place. I'm like, where's the silver lining? Where's the beauty in all of this, right? Like,
Yeah.
there's always a gift in pain. There's always like beauty in darkness. There's God uses all those things. There's a divine alchemy that happens, and you look
Yeah.
back and you go, holy cow, like how many people now are awake that never would have been
Oh, yeah.
had that stuff not happen, right? And like,
I wouldn't have
yeah,
been.
I'd
Truly.
still be like in the system, going off in medical land, probably not even questioning half the things that I knew,
Yeah.
thought I knew.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting too because and you can tell me what you think about this, but I feel like a lot of people, once they were like forced to be home, right? That and they realized that they could work from home and they could spend more time with their families. I think that was one of the silver linings because people were like, I can actually be home with my kids and like do stuff at home. And I think that also, not for everybody, I know that some people were like, I can't wait to get back to work. But I think that that was one of the beautiful things is that people realized that they didn't have to be rushing into the office 24/7 and like driving and spending all these hours in the car, and they could actually be home with their kids and like play a role in the day to day.
I think that was a mixed bag for a lot of people,
Yeah.
because I think there's this tendency to avoid all of our stuff
Oh, yeah.
being busy at our careers and jobs. And
Yes.
I think for a lot of people, they came home and then they're like alone, and they're like, for the first time maybe in a while, they're forced to be with themselves and like see their stuff. And I think that was really depressing for a lot of people. They didn't know how to cope with their
Agreed.
things, their
Yeah.
issues. And so there was a lot of like drinking maybe
Oh,
and
yeah.
those kinds of things. But I think you're right. On the other hand too, like there were a lot of parents that came home and go, this is actually pretty neat. Like I like spending time with my family. I like being home more. This feels good. And I know for my wife, that was she works in dentistry.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
She's worked in dentistry for 15, 16 years. And she loves her job. She loves her patients. Her patients are extended family to her. She's so good at what she does. They love
Yeah.
her, and then she came home for a while in 2020, and she's like, this feels good. And she's a very hard worker. She's passionate. She gets shit done. And so, we've been having conversation this last year, and for the first time in her life, she's kind of like, I think I kind of want to be at home more. Like, I don't know
Yeah.
if I want to be like a career woman. I don't want to miss out on family time and miss out on the girls, and I want to spend time with you. And there's other projects that I want to work on. And I think for her, it was like this realization of like, it's not I'm not a less empowered woman if I want to stay at home.
Right.
This is really beautiful. And I think a
Right.
lot of people felt like that too.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think these last few years brought up so many different things, but I was recently having a conversation with my friend about stuff and like our stuff and all the stuff that we carry. And it's really challenging if you like went your whole life not addressing any of that stuff and then you're sitting with yourself and you don't even know how to go about doing it. So, and I think for some people, it was a blessing, and they really took a deep dive into themselves and how they wanted to heal and show up and change. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, for sure. For
Yeah.
sure. It's been that way for me too.
Yeah. So
I had a lot of stuff to deal
that
with.
actually kind of like segues into the next thing we want to talk about was like
Yeah.
your own healing journey and like your views on healing and health in general and how they've
Yeah.
kind of shifted.
Yeah, for sure. So, well, I guess I'll talk about like my own healing journey first.
Sure.
The reality of like, med school and like academic life, is that it's exhausting. It's hard. It's very stressful.
Yeah.
And you don't probably don't get enough sleep. Like, don't really have much of a social life outside of school.
One of the women I talked to when she was in nursing school, she was like, it's paid for hazing. She was like, it's just crazy.
Yeah, it's hard. It takes a toll. I mean, it's the amount of the number of medical students that get their licenses and go off and start practice, you need to do like recovery, like trauma healing work post medical school. Is like it's a very high percentage. Because they're just suppressing all their shit just to get through school and pass these exams and get all their clinic hours in, and it's hard. And pre-med was that way for me. And so talking about my own healing journey, so I was at Columbia University in New York City and doing pre-med. It was a very rigorous program. I was doing clinical research in emergency medicine. I had a lot of stress. It was a very busy life. It was, living in Manhattan and so city life on top of all of that. And I developed a bit of a drinking problem during that time, and it was a coping mechanism. And then I got really disillusioned with the conventional medical system, and so a number of other things happened. I'm not going to get into that right now, in my personal life, but I decided to join the army. And so I think I was 30, 31 years old at the time. I went and signed up to be an airborne infantryman and go jump out of planes and blow shit up. And so I went from Columbia University in New York City to Fort Benning Infantry School in the armpit of Georgia. And
What a transition that
yeah, I know, I'll tell you what. And yeah, so army life isn't really conducive to being sober, infantry life. So my drinking problem kind of just snowballed, and it was on and off for some years. I got out of the army. I became a fitness coach. I was competing in CrossFit. That was a huge part of my life, was weightlifting and fitness, and I was taking care of myself. And my drinking was touch and go. And I moved out to Portland, Oregon. I started going to medical school. I was studying Chinese medicine and naturopathic medicine as a dual degree. And so I'm like learning all these like healing tools, and at the same time, like my stress levels were so high and my coping mechanisms were off, and I was still using, alcohol to sort of like numb some of those things. And in 2020 happened, we're home a lot, and I have more of an opportunity to drink because I'm home. And so, late 2020, a lot of things came to a head for me, and it was like, I gotta deal with this,
What are you
like
gonna do?
100%. Yep. So got sober, stopped drinking completely, and that, that's the sobriety part of it is a huge part of my healing journey, but removing that was a big barrier that was in the way of me actually healing. So what that did was I took away the numbing agent that was pushing down all the stuff within me that I needed to deal with, and all that stuff started coming up, all my emotions, all trauma from past relationships, things I hadn't dealt with as a man that I needed to deal with and get healthy as a man, all these things. So I spent a lot of time in the last 2.5 years like really leaning into that stuff, and it's been like exponential growth. And so yeah, you probably didn't think we were going there with all
No,
alcohol and
I
sobriety.
am totally I can't even tell you actually the amount of conversations that I've had with people who've like shared their journey to sobriety and all this stuff, like substance abuse over these last few years or even leading up to this. So I'm glad you're sharing it because I think more people need to be open and honest and vulnerable about it because if you look at like where you were then versus where you are now, people need to know that that's like sometimes that's part of the journey.
Absolutely.
And I hope you're really
Absolutely.
proud of yourself because that's awesome.
Yeah, I really am.
Good.
It's been hard work. It's been hard work. But the drinking was just a symptom of all the other stuff that within me that I needed to deal with. And so a lot of my healing journey has been like getting quiet, being still. And if men are not really good at that. We don't like to there's things that we can feel feelings like anger, and we're okay with that. But grief, sadness, and various kinds of emotional pain, those are not comfortable places for a lot of men to be, not for anybody to be, really. But like, we are, as men, we're so avoidant of those things, the insecurities, the insufficiencies, the self-worth issues, you know. And so my healing journey has been sitting with that, being really quiet, spending a lot of time in meditation and doing breath work, you know, and really like softening and allowing my pain to come up to the surface so that I can see it for what it is and see myself truly and sincerely and authentically and the places within me that need love, you know. It's like, so much of a man's pain is like the little parts of him that he has repressed and rejected and denied and dismissed and just shoved down. It's really just like a little boy, and what that little boy needs is to be seen and to be held. And so that's been a lot of my work in the last several years, and it's been like on emotional, energetic, spiritual level, which has no doubt affected like my body in dramatic ways and in my physical health. So that's sort of been the space that I've been in for the last 2.5 years. It's just been this like dramatic unbecoming, unraveling, so that I can really just be who I actually am, and exert the weight of that, of my personality, authentically from that place.
And I mean, I think that's, it's so powerful. And what you said earlier about how things start at home and with parenting and how we're raised, I think that, I don't know if people fully understand the gravity of why, like, respecting your kids and connecting with your kids and being with your kids and letting them be themselves is so important. Because, I mean, if you're looking at generational parenting patterns, right? We have a whole society of people pleasers, of people who have no idea how to communicate how they're feeling, who are terrified to communicate how they're feeling, or who are just told to sit down and shut up and or man up. And I think that it really, really, really impacts men. And I mean, I've seen it play out. You see it play out every single day, where boys were never comforted in the ways that they needed to. They were never allowed to express emotions. And so there are a lot of people who are essentially grown men who are walking around with still feeling like a little boy because they were never supported and loved and seen and heard in the ways that they were, that they needed to. And it, the way that you are parented impacts everything for the rest of your life, every relationship, everything you do or decide not to do. And so it's really nice to like hear more men like yourself opening up about what your healing journey looked like and the stuff that you went through and where you are now, because I think that that is, can be so encouraging to someone else who really needs to hear that, whether they're a man or a woman, but especially men.
Yeah. And you're so right about that stuff starting at home. It's like, you know, I think if as parents, we heal ourselves and really do the work to say that those generational patterns of parenting or those unhealthy habits or patterns or trauma or pain points or whatever, they got handed to us, or even might be somehow like hidden in our body and like these patterns of thinking and feeling. But it's up to us if we do the work to say, nope, that's not going any further. Is there is the reality of like trauma gets handed down through generations, and there's also on the flip side the reality of healing gets handed down through generations.
Yes, I love that so much.
And so we can bless our great 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 grandchildren through the hard work that we choose to do as parents. And a lot of my passion, so I write and talk about masculinity, about manhood, about being present as a husband and father, and encouraging men to come home to themselves. A lot of that is, well, it's all of it's my passion flows from my own story. But it's my conviction that there is a really special place that men have in the home. To put an end to those cycles, and also to exert like this, this healing influence that ripples through multiple generations, you know? And I like you, I would imagine like almost everyone has shit. In their tree, you know, like trauma that was handed to them, their parents or grandparents, whoever went through. But to say like, nope, it's stopping with me, it's stopping with this generation, I'm gonna deal with it.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna take that responsibility on to heal. There's power in that. It's really powerful, I think.
I think it's so powerful. And I feel like, I mean, these last few years really like opened our eyes to a lot of stuff in the world. And honestly, just sticking to our integrity and being like, no, this doesn't work for me. Like I'm not subscribing to that. I'm not participating in that. But I also think that at least me personally, like there's been so many parts of my own healing journey that I really needed to work on that I didn't even know until you have your own kids. And so it's like, people will judge you or have opinions or criticisms about what you did during these last few years. And when it comes to parenting too, I feel like it's the same thing. Like if you decide to do something differently, everyone's asking questions or everyone's like, well, why are you doing that? Or I'm a horrible parent because it's the way I parented you. And it's like, no, that's not what it's about. It's not what it's about. It's about people going through their own healing journey and being their own people, like being themselves and making their own decisions because they want to do it differently because they know that they don't want to repeat that.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so segueing from that into, you know, kind of like, you know, where my ideas around health and healing have evolved over time.
Okay.
So here's the carryover. It's like radical self-ownership, radical self-responsibility.
Right.
So, we don't heal pain patterns or trauma patterns until we take ownership of it. Even if it's not ours, even if it was given to us through shitty parenting. Okay. Yeah. Like we have to heal it.
Right.
Right. But that theme of self-ownership and personal responsibility, 100% applies to the way that I now understand health in the human body.
Yes.
Is, okay. So let me back up a little bit. So 2020 hit and I'm totally bought into this idea that there are contagious, viruses, these little submicroscopic particles that float from host to host and make people sick. Mm-hmm. And, so the response is to bolster our immune system, to take care of our quote unquote terrain, right. To, be healthy and, so that we can resist these pathogenic particles. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we worldwide have essentially been conditioned to believe this from an early, early age. So you catch a cold, you catch the flu,
right.
You catch chicken pox.
Right.
And this is a large part of the so-called health freedom movement, right? The sort of aware people still believe this.
Right.
And in my, the evolution of my understanding around those things would never have happened except for 2020 is another gift, the gift of 2020 and beyond.
Yeah.
Where when you begin to look at the history of virology and you look at the history of so-called germ theory, right? That these little submicroscopic particles pass from host to host and they're contagious and they make you sick. Mm-hmm. You dig into the literature, and this is a hot button topic, and it's super triggering. And, you know, and a lot of people in the health freedom community are like pretty fired up about this conversation, but the very foundations of virology are pseudoscientific. Like there is no real scientific evidence that viruses or pathogenic particles exist. Mm-hmm. And so, man, where to even start on that conversation?
I know, I was just gonna say, where do you even start?
Yeah, where are we going with this? So, yeah.
Well, I mean, I was thinking too, because like you and I connected initially with everything that was going on in the world and the homeschooling. And then you have shared so much information on all of the things that you've learned. And I've been reading all of these books too. And so I think, like you said, there are certain people within like the health freedom community who are very aware of what's going on, but who also are still believe a lot of certain things that they haven't fully like taken a deep dive to learn about. And there still is fear within that community wholeheartedly.
Right.
And so I think that opening up conversations about it like this might be considered like hot or controversial or like a trigger for some people, but it's so important that people understand that what we were conditioned to believe our whole lives, and even especially these last few years, is not really accurate.
Yeah. 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 It's true. Yeah. This is the fundamental issue. This is the fundamental conversation that needs to be had because this cycle of brand new pathogenic virus, brand new new variant will continue inevitably and will be, I guarantee, until we deal with this fundamental issue that viruses, there's no scientific evidence that they even exist, this will perpetuate ad infinitum. So a lot of people in the Alpha Freedom community are like, well, this isn't a conversation that people are ready for. This isn't a conversation that we need to have. This is too divisive. This is too controversial. And I'm like, this is the conversation. This is cutting it off at the ankles, right? Like, if we deal with this fundamental issue, then we can actually deal with what really makes people healthy and what really makes people ill. We can invest our time and energy into understanding those things. And we can also just cut off all of this nonsense with the mandates and the shots, all of which are poisonous, all of which are not going to provide you any kind of protection whatsoever.
That's what I was
They
saying.
are,
Poisonous, dangerous, ineffective. It's a bunch of crap.
yeah. So that is the conversation, and that is the fundamental issue. And once we, there's a lot more awareness that is being created around this, and people are cluing in and reading some of the research. You know, people like Dr. Tom Cowan,
I love him. I
yeah, brilliant, brilliant man. And he's so like peaceful and calm. He's so easy to listen to. He's so articulate, and he comes across as so humble. God, I just really admire that man. And
His
Andrew Kaufman.
Dr. Tom Cowan was one of the first, one of his books was one of the books that really opened my eyes to the whole injection thing for kids, like starting out. Like, if everybody read those first few chapters, I'll share the book in the show notes. I think it's Vaccines, Autoimmunity, and Something Else in Children or something like that. But if everyone in the world was required to read that, it would be like a different world. I mean, there's obviously so many layers to that, but that's who we need. We need more people to actually understand how our bodies actually work, because I don't think people have an understanding at all.
And so, like, Dr. Tom Cowan is just a leader within that community, so like well versed on the research. Dr. Andrew Kaufman is doing a lot of work. Actually, he has a new documentary out. I think it's still playing on Amazon Prime, but it's all about, like, you know, the germ theory, fraud, and terrain theory. And I want to say
I'll look
it's
it
called
up to
Terrain,
see what it's
maybe.
called.
You have to look it up. And then there's, you know, Dr. Mark Bailey and his wife, Dr. Sam Bailey, who are from Australia, I believe. I don't think they're from New Zealand. Oh, I'm so bad with that. Sorry if there are
No,
any
it's
Australian
okay.
listeners.
We'll find it and we'll include it all in there.
Dr. Mark Bailey, Dr. Sam Bailey, trying to think what, Alec Zack, he's done some incredible work. He did a 2 or 3 hour presentation debunking the nonsense, which is really, really lays out the history of the scientific literature and, you know, sort of like the fundamental pseudoscientific misunderstandings about virology. Really good work. You know, so there are people who are creating massive awareness, but it's all organic and grassroots. Like, none of this is funded, none of it's institutionalized. This is not on any like mass media, mainstream media platform
Of course it's
whatsoever.
not. And I think that's also kind of like the difficult part of it is that, like, if this is why this conversation is so important and opening up these conversations is so important, is because it is grassroots. Like, what we're talking about is not going to be on CNN. It's not going to be blasted across any of those networks. And so that's why we have to talk about it within this community and, like, have other people talking about it to other people and have it be a ripple effect, because otherwise it's not going to reach people. And so we have to, I know you're not like afraid to have these conversations because of what people's reactions could be, but like, we need to have these conversations. And like you said, this is the conversation that we need to have. And yes, there are so many layers to each thing, but it's so important. I sometimes I'm at a loss for words because I don't know if people fully understand the gravity of all of these different things and how many layers there are and why it's so important that we talk about these things.
And there's this tendency that we have as men and women, I think, where we like to be told by experts and authorities what to think and how to believe,
yeah.
or you know what to believe. And I've seen this dynamic within elements of the health freedom community where one time they were all CNN or MSNBC or all Fox News, and that's where they got all their information from. That's their worldview is shaped by those sources, and then and then they switched, and now it's all you know, people like Del Bigtree or Robert Kennedy or or Dr. Ryan Cole or Peter McCullough, Robert Malone, whoever. And so this, it's the same dynamic. We've just switched who we're getting all our information from.
Right.
But the underlying dynamic, the undercurrent with all of that is it's outsourcing your thinking.
Right.
And so you just have a new authority telling you how to believe in what your worldview is.
Right.
And what I think is the solution to that is like, we have to like radically take responsibility for what we think and feel. And like, it's not to say like, don't listen to anybody else.
Yeah.
But it's do the hard work to come to your own conclusions, to really dig in. You say, oh, I did my research. Well, a lot of times when people say, oh, I did my research, it was they did a Google search and then they just read the approved sources.
Right.
Or I did my research because I listened to Del Bigtree talking about this topic at a conference or on his show, or Dr. Peter McCullough. That's not doing research, really.
No.
You know, and it's not doing the hard work. And so instead of switching from one authority to another authority who just has a different view than this other authority, you know, my encouragement is to really deeply think for yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I write and I say somewhat controversial things, not to be controversial, but on social media platforms, public platforms. And I will often tell people, like, don't just blindly agree with whatever I have to say, you know, like, come to your own conclusions, like, think for yourself. Like, you know, I don't say things to like make people mad and piss people off.
No.
I lean into conversations that I feel like need to be had or topics that need to be talked about, and it inevitably like will twinge somebody's nerves a little bit. But what I always say, and I know because I've had conversations with Alec about the Alec Zek about this, like, and I know what he believes and others, is question what I have to say. Go come to your own conclusions, do the research. And that's really important. And I think that's where a lot of this conversation has been short-circuited, because it's like, well, that's not what I heard from Peter McCullough, or that's not what I heard from Del Bigtree. It's like, okay. Yeah.
What does that actually mean to you? And I wholeheartedly agree with that. And I think that there's also fear-mongering within the health freedom, holistic health community because of that. And it's like, you can't just listen to that influencer or whoever it is. You have to actually, like, take in what they're saying, think about how you feel about it, go and actually look stuff up and see, come to your own conclusion. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with asking questions. I think that's the whole point. I think it's that we should be able to have conversations about this and not just like shun the other person for viewing things differently. And I think that also within the last few years has become very aware with just how people treat one another. Not just within the like holistic health community or health freedom community, I think in general, like, it's almost like if you don't agree with me, then you're lesser than. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes I feel like it's come off that way, or like you're stupid or whatever. And I think that's not a good way to go about it, obviously, because that leaves people feeling like, okay, well, you think I'm dumb, or okay, you don't think that I've actually done this research or paid attention to it. And that doesn't leave anybody feeling good. And so I think that what it comes down to at the end of the day is like, okay, you look at whatever your sources are and you come together and you actually sit with it and sort through how you feel about it and do your own research, however you need to process it all and come to how you feel about it. And I think that there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that everything is so individualized, which gets brushed under the rug all the time. That's one of the things that I can't stand about like the healthcare system. Saying that in air quotes, because I don't think it's set up to make people well. It's just, this is standard protocol and you have to do this because this is what everybody else does.
One size fits all.
Yes. Yeah. No, that doesn't apply in anything at all in life.
Totally. Yeah. And that dynamic of belittling others for feeling or thinking differently than you, or coming to different conclusions, having a different perspective. You know, that's something that I have to be aware of within myself, is like,
yeah,
We get so emotionally attached to the things that we believe or the things that we think are true. And it is a discipline for me to hold that loosely and to open space for like having my mind change, you know? And that's in my opinion, that is a sign of true intelligence, is when a man or a woman can change their mind when presented with new information. Intelligence isn't knowing it all. It's being open to continuously learning. And in order to continuously learn, you also have to be open to unlearning information that you previously thought was true. And I'm in a period of unbecoming and unlearning and unraveling most of what I thought was true about health. But that it's so important to check in with yourself when you have these conversations and say, am I emotionally attached? Am I responding out of emotion, or am I responding out of like open-heartedness or open-mindedness to really interact with this person and their perspective and the information that they're presenting? And I know for myself, I have to do that constantly when I have conversations. But it's an important thing. And it applies to relationships, or it applies to everything, but
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It applies across the board, and so much of what we talk about, it just applies to everything. But are there, so in wrapping up this conversation, which has been such an awesome conversation, do you want to share a bit about like the stuff that you're working on outside of your truck driving? I know you were talking about writing, and you guys, you and Britt have a company together, so I'd love to hear about that so everybody's aware of that.
I'm like one of those people who always has too many brands in the fire. So I'm learning to learning to simplify and really just focus on a few things at a time. I have a very busy mind, very curious mind, right?
Same.
But yeah, so projects that we're working on. Last year, Brent and I started Wellness Goods Company, which is all natural, organic, very clean skincare products. And it's been a passion project and something that we just really enjoy doing together, is getting in the kitchen and getting our botanicals, our herbs, and our organic oils and butters, and making up concoctions. And it just started honestly as like we want to make a face cream with DMSO that we would use every day. And so we just played with that and came up with a formulation and reworked it. And then we're like, this is really good stuff. Like, oh man, I bet people would buy this. Like, why don't we sell it? We share with other people. And it's just kind of like grown since then. So it's been a fun passion project on the side. And we're coming up with new formulations and new products all the time. We haven't released them all, but yeah, so wellnessgoodscompany.com, and we're on Instagram. It's just us, small
Just
handmade
us.
batches of stuff. And then yeah, so I'm also a writer, and I'm writing a book that is forthcoming, and that has been a journey all its own this last year. But it's very much about my journey as a man and coming home to myself, like, you know, the journey home to myself as a man. And yeah, so the overarching themes of that is, you know, masculinity and growing into the fullness of mature, healthy manhood. And yeah, I don't know when that's coming out. I have
That's totally
pages and pages, and
okay.
I'm working with a really wonderful woman who's helping me birth this book. And I'm truck driving for now, and then Brett and I are making big plans and big dreams for the future. And so we're talking about getting some property, and we want to, of course, grow our own food. We want to have some livestock. I love alpacas. I think they're beautiful and funny, and they
You've
just make
shared
me laugh. I
a
know, they're just the funniest animals. I love alpacas. They make me happy. And she wants little baby miniature cows. They have these mini cows, you know, you
Oh, I
can
didn't
get.
know that.
If mini cow, you got to look this up.
I
They're
have
the
to
cutest freaking things. They're the size of dogs, these
That is
mini cows,
wild.
and they breed them that way. And so yeah, and some people have house cows. They're these mini cows, and they are pets in the home. They
Oh
like
my
sleep with them in
gosh.
bed. It's the craziest that we have a friend here who has a small farm, and she just bought two of these mini cows. Yeah.
Is so
So
funny. Yeah, I just like did a quick search and they're so cute. They're
they're the
so
cutest
cute.
freaking things. Yeah.
Oh my
So
gosh.
I know, yeah. You tell all your listeners, you gotta look at these mini cows.
I might include that in the show notes. Here's some
Yeah, well, Valentine's
information.
Day is coming up, and all the wives are out there and be like, "Don't buy me lingerie. I want a baby
I want a
cow."
mini cow, please. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, that's
And yeah,
awesome.
and we're like really envisioning like the conversations that Britt and I have had are revolving around abundance. Like if we had
Yes.
unlimited resource,
Yes.
right? And we're connected to like the spirit of all abundance. Like, I think we have this misunderstanding that God wants, or it's more spiritual to somehow live in lack or to not have money, and that's just not true, you know. And I think if you're answering, if you're saying yes to God, if you're saying yes to living in integrity and yes to living in alignment, and you have a vision, and you start going after that vision, like abundance is coming, and money is coming, and provision's coming, opportunity's coming. And so these are the conversations that my wife Brett and I have been having, is like, okay, so let's just say yes. Let's say yes to big dreams, big vision. Let's have this land. And one of the things we kind of got excited about recently is let's create a space for kids to come in and learn real life skills, right? Like growing food and making medicine and raising animals and having classes on interpersonal communication skills and conflict management. I mean, like real life skills, like stuff that kids should be learning in school, like how to start a business. Why can't 15 or 16-year-olds start a thriving business? There's no reason. You don't have to wait till you go to college or you finish high school. You don't have to do that.
Don't even have to go to
So,
college.
in fact, don't go to college.
I was just gonna
Probably not a good
say,
investment.
no.
Yeah, so these are some of the things that Britt and I want to birth and bring into the world, and we're just saying yes, and we're saying, with God all things are possible. It's gonna happen, and so we're just excited
I
for the coming
love
years and
that.
wanting to invite men and women in for community, and we want to dance, and we want to have campfires, and I want to have men in, and have men's ceremonies and mentor young boys into becoming men and take them through initiation ceremonies and rituals where we say, okay, this is your transition. You're becoming a young man. It's time to, you got to learn how to do hard shit amongst the community of men. And that is so important. But like, we're thinking like, okay, with all the crap that's gone on in the last few years, what can we birth and bring in and create and build in this world that's going to spread love and empowerment and health and healing to as many people as we possibly can. And so these are some of the things that we're looking to bring into the world.
I'm pumped for you guys.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see all the things that you create.
Yeah, we'll be
So,
driving trucks forever, but
I don't see that happening. But this has just been like, whew, just such a good conversation. I'm so pumped for people to hear it. And I know we've touched on so many different things today.
yeah.
Chris and I were talking about before we started recording that we will likely have him back on again to chat more because we didn't feel like we could talk about everything in one episode. So, are there any final words or pieces of advice that you would want to leave listeners with?
Yeah, okay. So this is something that I've been sitting with recently
Okay.
that has been a real shift for me. And here's my little piece of advice. Here's my little 2 cents.
Okay.
When you wake up in the morning, y'all, make it your goal to feel as good as possible in your body, whatever that looks like for you. You know, if it means doing some yoga, doing some prayer, going outside, putting your bare feet on the ground, getting some sunshine. Because when you move into the world with fullness and your heart feeling good in your body, feeling settled and grounded in your mind and your spirit, your whole life's gonna shift. Your whole day is gonna shift. So that's what I've been trying to do, and it's my 2 cents for your listeners.
I love that. And I think too that it also gives people like time to experiment too. Like, what makes me feel good when I wake up? What makes me feel horrible when I wake up? If this makes me feel bad, what can I shift? So I love that. It's some good advice. I'm going to include where people can find you in the show notes, but if you want to say what your Instagram handle is or your email or anything like that, you're more than welcome to.
So for right now, you can get a hold of me at the dot Chris dot Linscomb on Instagram, and then my email address is chris@chrislinscomb.com. And we've got things we're building and working on, so more to come in the future, but for right now, that's where you can reach me.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for coming on, and I'm really, really glad we're able to have this conversation.
Yeah, I'm honored. Thank you. I'm so grateful to be here.
All right, guys, we will be back next week. Bye. Thank you so much for joining us this week, listeners. I really hoped you loved this episode as much as I did. If you enjoyed it, learned something new, or know someone you feel may benefit from it, please share it with them, whether you're posting it on social media, sending it in a text or an email. My goal is to open up these types of conversations within our society, within our families, within our friend groups. As always, if you have any feedback, questions, or know someone you think may be a great guest for the podcast, please connect us on Instagram at the Be Loud About What Matters podcast or send an email to beloudaboutwhatmatters@gmail.com. And if I haven't said it already, if you could please subscribe to the podcast, I would so appreciate it. And also leave a review if it's something that aligns with you and you feel like you want to learn more and you want to keep listening. Help us reach more people. I appreciate you all so much and can't wait to chat with you again next week. Bye bye.